Welcome to Floating Nifty Podcast. My name is Xiaowen.
And my name is Noah.
I have a feeling it's going to be a really good session. And don't ask me what I drank this morning. We haven't really started the session yet.
Good thing we're drinking.
Shi Ding Hong Shui.
Boom. Yay! Hong Shui Oolong from Shi Ding in Taiwan. Also Gaba Hong Shui like Lalasan, but a different farm, different farmer, different area. Low mountain tea.
Yeah, the person helped to sell this tea told me it's a low mountain tea. Maybe we shouldn't put this in, actually.
Why not?
Kind of, I don't know.
Low mountain tea?
Yeah.
It is low mountain tea.
It is low mountain tea. So if you are very into Baozhong tea, you will know actually Shi Ding is known for making Baozhong tea. Yeah. And it's one of the regions that is known for. It's in the Wenshan district. And it's known for Baozhong tea. The growing is declining. So right now, the most popular place for Baozhong tea is Pinning, inside of the Wenshan district. But our teacher, Mr. Zhan, discovered a farmer there. And this farmer, I bet he made all sorts of teas. And Mr. Zhan told me how much he appreciated this farmer's tea. The skill of the farmer. Yeah, so if you compare this Hong Shui to our Taman San or Lala San Hong Shui, Taman San and Lala San Hong Shui are from the same farmer, and the location is very close. It's just a different peak. Mr. Zhan liked about Lala San and Taman San Hong Shui for the place, like the earth, the environment, the growing method. He loved about it. Very, very natural, very down to earth. So when you are drinking that tea, you will probably feel a lot of earth energy. And this tea, I feel, is very powerful. And we'll talk a little bit about more what I feel about this tea after a few infusions into it, rather than tell you how you're supposed to feel.
Sounds good to me.
Or how I'm supposed to feel.
I'm looking forward to drinking this tea again.
Mm-hmm. And so it just right now we are having a first infusion.
Smells like black tea.
Yeah, this Hong Shui smell more like a black tea to me, and the Taman San Hong Shui smell more like a oolong to me.
Really rich and thick in the scent.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Mm. Oh, that broth is beautiful.
Yeah, it spray out very much. I was actually a little bit, I won't call it anxious, maybe a little bit fear, and I try not to show the fear to the tea.
Now he knows. Run away.
Yeah. I feel this tea can be not easy to brew. Yeah. But today, I think because we amp up so much energy already in the beginning, we kind of went nuts right in the beginning. So our energy right now is undefeatable. So you kind of just open the tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first infusion, wonderfully already open. Actually, a little bit surprised. The broth feel very open. The physical energy on the broth also just move down really well.
Yeah.
And move down to a lot of places in my body. Mm. It's actually if it felt really good.
Feels good.
It felt really good. I think some of the times, I don't know if you have the feeling that when you take a sip of a tea, you don't need to describe it in detail, and you just know it's a good tea. And this is what happened to this tea in the first infusion. Yeah. And while we wait for the second infusion, we can probably just come out of the tea just a little bit and talk about why we were a little bit crazy, or I was a little bit crazy. I couldn't stop laughing and stuff. It's because last week we went through our biggest ever Cyber Monday. And I want to thank all of you guys who placed the orders. it was beyond my expectation. It was three times more than my expectation, bigger than my expectation. So the feeling was excellent, and I am exhausted. Yeah, I am exhausted. We pretty much spent the whole week packing tea and try to take care of the store business too. So it had been, I have to say, it had been very intense. And I noticed that when I get tired, I go a little bit crazy. Yeah, and so somehow that we step into the recording space and set up the tea, and I just went crazy. Here you go.
Yeah, we get here in the morning and leave at night.
Yeah.
And we're packing tea pretty much the whole time. We stopped for lunch. But yeah, it was awesome. So thank you so much. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It makes us really happy.
And I hope those teas make you very happy at
home.
Yeah. And in a way, I feel like today the session with this Shiding Hongshui is perfect. Because it's a gaba oolong. And so it's supposed to be very relaxing. And yet the farmer somehow put in so much energy in this tea.
Yeah.
It's a bigger tea than a lot of the gaba hongshui that we have gotten in a paste. This tea has a lot of power, and yet it has gaba inside. I would say compared to Lala San has energy too, but very gentle and long lasting. And this one is power.
It's a little bit more challenging of a tea.
Yeah. Sometimes, Lala San Hongshui and Taman San Hongshui, you probably already notice if you have the tea, you probably notice that it's very hard to overbrew that tea. Like you can just soak it for a while and it's really hard to overbrew that tea. You will notice with this Shiding Hongshui, you can overbrew the tea. Mm. It becomes really, really strong. And I think this is where it's challenging to me. Like, because I treat it more like the other hongshui and I can easily overbrew it. But it doesn't mean you should brew it for a very short time though. Yeah, and then this second infusion, you see, the broth is at the borderline of it might go to the really, really, really strong side. Yeah. Huh?
It's strong.
Yeah, it's strong.
I almost feel like maybe don't cook it like that over the kettle.
Okay. So what happened is I put the teapot back on the tea kettle. Some of you guys actually drink tea with us in person, and you know how much we like to heat up the tea. So we'll see if this tea like that. Almost a lot of teas like that. Our oolongs and our pours like to be open with heat and with a lot of heat, and we'll see if this tea need that much heat. What do you feel like the second infusion?
Pretty strong.
Strong, huh?
Yeah, pretty strong.
Mm-hmm. As I said earlier on, I think it's on the borderline of it getting a little bit too strong for my taste.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I brew it, when the liquid is too strong, I think it also simultaneously call out a lot of energy from the tea. So the physical sensation sometimes can be... So the first infusion is strong and very well connected. And the second infusion, the energy is strong and on the rough side.
Yeah, yeah. Almost overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so... I know some of you guys like really, really strong teas, and then by all means, you can brew tea this way. Normally, when I'm looking for a strong energy tea, I want it to, within the strongness, there should be a container rather than it running wild in my body. I would say that I don't like to handle those kind of teas in my body. And you can see that in a lot of oolong and pu'er teas. Some of the pu'er teas, the energy is so crazy. I actually, my body said, I don't like that, you know. And so let's see, this third infusion, I'll just put in some intention to bring out that roundness to see if I can do that. What do you feel? The smell on the third infusion. A bit quieter, huh?
Yeah, already a lot quieter.
Yeah. And... for those of you who are listening out there, I don't know if you believe in this. I would say many years ago when I brew tea, I I won't say if I believe or not. I just didn't put them many thoughts, and I refuse to put in these kind of thoughts into the tea because I want the tea. I wanted the tea to unfold on its own. I want the tea to be truly itself. And today I actually, you know, during this recording, I told you I put in intention. I want the tea to be rounder. And this is a very, this is quite a new thing to me. That I deeply believe the tea brewer has a huge influence in the tea, and I feel it's okay. It's actually okay to have influence from the tea brewer, because at the same time, I have a friend who I drank tea since I opened the store. He walked into my shop and tried to find a baozhong and share some tea with me. And so I have known this friend for a long time, and he has a huge capacity in tea, in a lot of things, actually. And I noticed that he brewed tea very well. And for this past few years, we get closer and closer, including we went to tea classes together in Taiwan. And I started to really pay attention to his capacity in tea brewing. And during one private session, I thought he brewed tea the best out of the three of us, me and Noah and him. And then he came back and he totally got into that thinking of it's not fair to put in our influence into the tea. And I thought that's a very legit and interesting thinking. And it made me think a little bit too. Like, do we put our influence into the tea? And I thought about it and I thought, well, we can't not do that. Yeah. It's natural in there. So what he was doing is, after he thought about it, he unpurposely blocked himself to connect with the tea. And for my taste right now, I think his tea is lacking something. But it's I think it's part of his discovery journey. I won't say it's wrong. I think he's trying to prove something, and I like that. I want him to prove something to himself and to me and to, if I can say that, to the world of tea drinkers. And the thing with me is I'm actually a very practical tea drinker. What I saw the result is when we put our influence in there, the tea has more connection with us. And so I don't want to block my connection. But for a while, actually, for 1 year after I came back from those private lessons, I was on purpose almost too much to put in my influence into the tea. And nowadays, I am trying to just build a connection. And because I know that when I build a connection with the tea, I am in the tea. And without putting like intentionally putting so much of my energy into the tea. And I'm actually quite enjoy seeing the result.
Without the tea brewer, there's no tea.
True.
Right? Without the tea brewer, there's no tea to drink. It's just dry tea leaves.
Yeah. When the friend first started this form of conversation, when he said, it's not fair that we put in our influence. And I thought about it, and I told him at that time, I said, I don't think that's not fair. I think tea is a beautiful, in a way, a result between human and the plant. Cause I feel like, sure, the earth did something already. The rain, the air, the nutrient in the earth. That I guess human directly and indirectly actually put in the influence, for example, depends on if the farmer decided to spray, you know. But the moment when the farmer picked the leaves and then he or she started to process the leaves, there is human influence in a leaf. Yeah. And then in oolong, there's also such a thing that there's a second part of a processing called tea roasting. It can be from the tea maker, and it can be from somebody else. And in this case, will be from our charcoal teacher, Mr. Zhang, and Mr. Lai. They are not farmers, and they don't necessarily grow tea and process tea, but they choose good tea base, and then they want to alternate and make the tea better in their way. So for what I'm seeing is every single process and step of the tea journey itself, there's such a huge human influence into there. So I thought that my job as a tea brewer, I should call out the base of the tea and to see if it's almost like a piece of music, you know. And that's what our tea brewing teacher told us, is that that piece of music without performers, what do you think? Or with a bad performer and with an excellent performer, it's going to be a different result, while the music is the same.
Well, nature is doing its thing all day, every day. Right? Nature's always doing its thing. Mm. It doesn't stop from doing what it's doing. It's when people go and pick the tea leaves and then make it into something drinkable that we can have a look into it.
Mm-hmm. True.
So this is our way of looking into it, but without the human to present it to another human, you know, without a human to take it from nature and then present it, then it's just nature doing its own thing.
Mm. It can be just a plant.
Yeah, just a plant growing.
True. And I think that's why I eventually came to love tea so much. It's the more you drink tea, I think for me, I can see sometimes what nature is playing in one specific tea and what human is playing, the farmer is doing in this tea. And it always brings my imagination into the place, into the field, the mountain, and into, you know, the person, you know, because I can't meet every single farmer. the tea that I source, you know, not yet. I'm still living in Seattle, and my time in the tea field is very limited. And so sometimes with some teas, I just have to use my imagination. And some of the teas will have a bit more direct contact with the farmers, and I enjoy both, because the thing is I can feel them in the tea, and I can feel their efforts or even their struggle, and their, what is really fun is their personality into the tea.
Well, my experience with Mr. Zhang, the Lalasan farmer, the way he brewed tea for us really makes me think of his tea, and then. Because he was brewing tea, watching TV
I have to give it to him, though, because there was an election in Taiwan at that time when we went to visit him.
Yeah.
And people in Taiwan, generally speaking, are very into participation in what they are voting for.
But he's watching TV and brewing tea.
Yeah,
at the
he
same
was
time.
Watching what the.
And he made the tea really good.
Really good, actually.
And then he went up to use the bathroom. He put water in the pot, went up to use the bathroom, came back. He washed his hands. Came back.
I hope so.
He did. He poured out the tea, and it still tasted really good. Just really, he has this way about him as a person, you know, and his tea is that way too. It's easygoing.
It's easygoing. I hope a lot of you guys who are really into his tea will have a chance to drink his tea, drink tea with him in person. You will really see his cuteness.
And
in
even
his
if
tea.
You don't get to drink the tea with him in person, to know him through the tea, he's really like that.
Yeah, he's really like that.
The tea is so, you just put that tea in a pot and brew it for as long as you want. You can put a lot of leaves, you can put not very many leaves. It's really, really easy going. And the story that it tells is really soft and gentle and happy.
Yeah.
And then this tea, even though I haven't met this farmer, I can feel the farmer's presence in this tea.
He's
probably a very particular kind of person.
Yeah,
and
he's a very strong person.
Yeah.
I would love to meet him.
Yeah. And the story it tells is much different, even though it's the same style of tea.
Yeah. True.
And the story that the land is telling is a lot different too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. almost I can feel the land in this Shiding Hongshui is older.
Yeah.
And it's rougher. And it carry a lot of history. And on the top that the farmer also is a, I would say, yeah, he's a very particular person. I can almost see his face with a certain style of wrinkles on his face.
Yeah, totally.
And the La La San Hongshui feel the earth is very open. It's very joyful. It feels young. Mm. It feels like a young mountain. But I'm not sure if it's a very young mountain, actually. And the farmer that I can confirm, because we went to hang out with him for like a whole afternoon, a whole morning, pretty much the whole day. And he's just a sweetheart.
Yeah.
we actually give him a nickname. We call him the
Taiwanese Santa Claus.
Taiwan Santa Claus. he's just so sweet. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't have his own ways to... He's starting trying very hard to make a good gaba hongshui for people. He's very proud of what he's doing. And yet, at the same time, you can totally see that he's more relaxed. He's like, almost like that. I'm going to try hard, and if it doesn't come out,
just keep going. Like with his coffee, you know? He's very particular about the way that he makes his coffee.
Yeah.
And he made a really good cup of coffee. But you can tell he's also playing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
He's totally playing.
Yeah, he finds a lot of joy.
Yeah.
And then we actually watch him cooking.
And there's same thing.
Delight into it, but he's very particular. He was like whispering to us. He said, I told my helper not to put that much daikon into this soup. Ginger.
Yeah, too much ginger in the daikon was cut too small.
Yeah. Because they will impact the daikon presence. And I thought that was really, wow, that he can be that particular. And yet that is like, oh, well, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, he's still very playful at the same time. But this farmer, I feel like I haven't actually physically sat down with him in person, but I feel like I know him through the tea.
Yeah.
And I think we've actually drank a tea from him before.
Yeah.
This tea totally
remind me of one. Actually, it was a black tea. And it was one of the pretty much the most powerful black tea I have ever drunk in my journey so far. Besides one time, I think I drank a really good wild grown leaf black tea from Yunnan. That two can be put in the same ranking in the power.
This one's a Taiwanese black tea.
Yeah, and it totally shocked me. Yeah. Like how much power can a black tea or can any tea have?
And beautiful at the same, like rough.
Rough and
difficult,
beautiful.
But also so beautiful. Mm-hmm. So beautiful.
And so you can find a little bit difficulty in this tea. I would say this hongshui is not a wow, so beautiful. It's more of the, I guess, sometimes the hard beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Mr. John said about his La La San Hongshui. He said, actually, I've had this tea for a while. A lot of my customers in Taiwan, they don't find enough drama and challenge in the tea.
Mm.
It's like very nice the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. And for me, it's the same thing. That tea doesn't have drama. And so I had difficulty with that tea because it's lacking drama. And I found this tea already. The first time I tried, I was like, this is intriguing. Yeah, hongshui.
It's a challenge. It's a challenge.
There are challenges in this tea. For example, how to brew it and how to receive it. The energy, actually. And I would say the La La San Hongshui, it's a different kind of how to receive it.
Yeah.
You know, kind of it's teaching me just it's okay also to be soft.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to be turned like on all the time, like working and managing, you know, and be perfect, etc. So I will say that I have more difficulty with I adore the La La San Hongshui, but as a human, as a person, I have more difficulty with La La San Hongshui, because of the lesson, I supposed to receive from it. And this one is just like, it's challenges. I like it.
Let's see what we can do with this tea. Brewed every day. But that broth on the first infusion especially.
It's really good, huh?
So soft. Mm. Yeah, really soft and puffy.
And now I think it's the fifth infusion. I think we didn't say anything about fourth infusion because we were just talking about other things, which happens. Mm. I love the length of this tea. Mm. It's really long. The broth itself is really long on this tea. And that's what I say on the structure part of...
It reaches deep into the body.
Yeah, it reaches that. I'm not talking about energy, okay? I'm just talking about how the tea actually, when the moment you start to swallow the tea broth, how it actually reaches into your body.
And this is a foundation of tea drinking to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And not talking about tea energy or how much this opens your chakras or something like that.
It's, something it's not like that. That. Yeah. It's just the physical... Broth of the tea that you can sense inside of the mouth at the throat area, and then when it start to move, you can sense how it's moving. So that's not energy yet.
And the first place to feel that is the throat.
Mm-hmm. Or the mouth. Yeah. Yeah, and the softness is really showing up. Actually, last infusion, but we were talking about other things. Mm. This is a really good one. I really like this tea.
Yeah.
And now probably if you have been listening to our podcast or have been drinking tea with us for quite a while, you probably know why I come to love tea so much. You know, you can see tea as it is, just a beautiful beverage, and you can see tea beyond, not just a beverage. Also, you can see the people behind it. You can see your own struggle behind it. Mm. You can see your wonderful connection with it. So it's not all negative or positive. And I love to learn from tea is from the positive turnouts and from the negative turnouts when I have a tea session and trying to learn. And I actually see tea as human too. It's like we have different temperaments. We have our core temperaments, but we have different temperaments, like different moods each day. And sometimes I feel tea's that way. And so then I learn how to work with it, you know. And sometimes tea goes happy for me, and sometimes a certain tea goes really rough on me. And for me, I see every chance as a good learning opportunity. And sometimes when I don't want that much learning, and I want comforting, then I know that some of the teas can in a way comfort me. So I just put them in a bigger cup, and I don't even sit down and intentionally brew. I just let the tea unfold on its own. And so tea can give me almost any kind of opportunity and any moment that I'm asking for, you know. I think it's a good friend, it's a good teacher, and just so interesting, because there's no end to it. Even with one tea, with this tea, you know, I think we receive it for this Shiding Hongshui, we receive it for like 2 weeks now.
And yeah, we've drank it probably, what, eight times?
Eight times. Yeah, and every times single time is still, I can see the core essence of the tea and still the nuances and what is going to show up every day is every single time is still different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we know it's a big tea. So out of the power, you know, on this tea, what do I want to work with, and what do I want a tea to work with me? Mm. I am seriously excited.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Beautiful scent too. Mm. So we already brewed 5 infusions, and I hope you had fun listening as much as we have fun drinking it and talking about it. As I say, past week has been really wonderful and really stressful for me and for the team at Floating Leaf Tea. But overall, we are very grateful of your support.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And thank you for listening. Thank you for telling your friends and forcing your friends to listen to this podcast. Continue to do the work, please. Yeah, just force them. Why not? You know, turn on the podcast.
Radio.
Yeah, turn on the podcast and just say, hey, listen. And as the other one of the tea friends out there say, got to listen to Sean's podcast, even though you don't listen to what he said, listen to her laughter. So you can do this too if you want to. But anyway, thank you so much. And please check out our website, floatingleaf.com, because winter tea, not just winter tea is coming.
Do
you like that joke? I kind of like it.
That's good.
Until next time, we'll see you on Monday. Happy tea drinking. Bye.
Bye.